With Helen Skells, and we're talking about the science of archaeology this week. Time to trip back now to the Middle Ages, Helen.
Yes, we left Ben and Dave constructing a medieval siege weapon out of a few things lying around the office. So let's go and see if they really are capable of siege waging desktop warfare.
Welcome back to Kitchen Science, where today we're building our own desktop version of a medieval siege weapon. Earlier on, we built ourselves a trebuchet. This is basically like a seesaw, but with the pivot much closer to one side than the other. On the short side, we've put a big heavy weight, in our case a cup, and on the long side is where we're going to put our projectile. Now, we've actually just got a pen lid on a piece of string, because we don't want to throw anything dangerous. Dave, are we ready to fire?
I think we're ready to fire. It's probably not going to knock down any castle walls, but it could be quite cool anyway.
Fantastic. So let's get this loaded up. We once again put the piece of string that's attached to our projectile onto the little hook that we've put at the long end of the trebuchet. And now Dave's just going to pull it back. And what that's done is lifted up our weight, the cup, on the other end. I'm going to stand back. Dave's going to let go, I think, and we'll see how far it flies. When you're ready, Dave?
Okay, here we go.
That's incredible. Now, despite this only being a 20-centimetre-long piece of cardboard, a pen and a few bits of string, that fired all the way across the room and hit a desk at the far end. But, Dave, even when I was much, much heavier than the person on the other end of the seesaw, I never sent them flying across the park. How come this works in this setup?
The basic principle is exactly the same as the seesaw. When the mug goes downwards, the other end of the arm goes upwards. However, because the side of the arm which the mug's attached to is very short and the other end is very long, when the mug drops about 5 centimetres, this end comes upwards about 25 centimetres.
So the length of the arm actually acts to multiply the amount of movement and so the speed at which the end goes?
Yeah, that's right. It's exactly the same as a crowbar, but in reverse. With a crowbar, what you're doing is taking a very large distance but small force from your hand, turning it into a very small distance but very large force to rip things apart. And now this is working in reverse. You've got a very large force moving a small distance from the mug, which is transferred into a small force moving a large distance at the other end of the arm.
OK, so I see how the distance from the pivot acts to multiply the speed at which it's dropping. But the mug is dropping down, so the other end of the arm must be going up, but it threw our projectile forwards. How does this work?
Well, because the mug's acting to rotate this arm, by the time the mug gets to the bottom of its drop, then the arm is going to be going sideways. Because the arm is attached to the projectile by a piece of string, it does two things to it. It both moves it at the same sort of speed as the end of the arm is moving, and it acts to rotate it around the end of that arm. So when the mug gets to the bottom of its drop, the arm is going to be moving at its fastest because it's gained the most energy from that cup dropping. But at this point, the piece of string is still rotating around the top of it. So the projectile actually ends up going faster than the end of the arm.
So having a piece of string between our projectile and the rigid end of our seesaw arm of the trebuchet actually acts to increase the speed that it goes by putting sort of an extra flick in when the arm actually stops moving.
It's the same principle as how a slingshot works. Basically, you have a piece of string attached to your arm. So that extra flick means that the stone in the end of the slingshot can go much faster than the end of your hand is moving, and so it can go much further and be much more lethal.
So a trebuchet, which actually seems like a pretty basic bit of technology, is based on something even more basic, just a slingshot.
And in fact, that's how they were developed. The first thing that people started doing was attaching their slings to a pole, because then the end of the pole can be going really quite fast, then that sling on the end of that makes it going even faster, so you get quite a lethal weapon. Then they decided they wanted to throw heavier things, so they pivoted a pole with lots of people pulling down on one end, put a heavy rock at the other end, so you get like 50 or 100 people pulling down at one end of the pole, the other end would fly upwards and launch rocks at castle walls again. This is called a traction trebuchet.
Well, that doesn't sound like a fun thing to do. What if it went wrong and the rock fell on you?
I don't think they worried about that sort of thing in those days. Health and safety wasn't quite as developed as it is now. And then basically someone came up with a bright idea of using a heavy weight instead of 100 people, as it was probably cheaper, and also meant that the trebuchet was much more accurate because you could lift the weight a certain distance and give the rock a very prescribed amount of energy, so you could predict where it was going to go again and again and again, and so you could keep hitting the same piece of the wall and then knock it down. And that's basically what the trebuchet we have in front of us is.
Fantastic. Well, please go on our website at thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience, where Dave is going to put some video and instructions to how to make your own desktop trebuchet. If you are going to make one, do be careful, because it does fling things really quite quickly and actually quite far, but it's an awful lot of fun to play with. So that's all we have for this medieval siege weapon kitchen science. We'll be back with another great hands-on experiment next week.
Thanks, guys. So that weapon may not be powerful enough to knock down castle walls, but you can certainly build a mini trebuchet that works well enough to fire across rooms. And like they said, they're going to put some videos up on the net for you. So have a look at www.thenakedscientist.com/kitchenscience.
And you can scale it up so that you can take out the neighbour's fence if you really don't like them. Only joking. This is The Naked Scientist with Chris and Helen, and we're talking about the science of archaeology this week. Preston Miracle's with us from Cambridge University.